Greetings, my dear audience. I'm Peter Resnick, and welcome to the Dr. Peter Resnick's Toolbox. When I had my first show, I greeted you by saying, "Hello, my dear yet unknown friends." But now I can say, "My dear friends, I'm getting to know you, and you're getting to know me." You communicate with me. I got a lot of emails this week. Speaking up. You know, the same happened with my YouTube channel. When I started it 5 years ago, I had very few people watching it. By now, about 500,000 people watched it. Many of those videos are about face reading. I learned something about where people's interests are. I did a reading of a Christian evangelist, Nick Vujicic. A man who has no arms, no legs. He wrote 10 books, learned to play golf, to swim, has a full life, father, got married, fathered two children, an incredible person. I spoke about his temperament and his personality and how his personal characteristics helped him to achieve all that. You would think that it would go viral. No, only a few hundred people watched the video. Then I did the reading of Prince Harry and his bride at that time. Almost 90,000 people watched it. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, 30,000 watched it. It tells you something, right? By the way, I did the reading of Angelina and Brad before they split. And I said, looking at their faces, that I would be surprised if their marriage would endure. Anyway. Check out my YouTube channel. I have over 100 videos there. It's just on YouTube, Dr. Peter Resnick. Okay, I always get carried away. Let's go back to today's show. I want to remind you that I am available to take calls. You can call me during the show if you have some comments or questions or want to share with your experience, particularly that I intend to give you a lot of mental exercises today. And if you choose to participate in them, you may have questions about what you experienced. If you do not reach me today, you can also email me. My email is peter1818resnick@gmail.com. And the number to call today is 888-874-4888. Again, 888-874-4888. Last Tuesday, I shared with you one of the powerful tools in my toolbox, mental imagery. There are many tools ahead of us, and I will share with you slowly with all of them. But I don't want to rush to the next one till I covered fully the one I started. Last week, you learned about what imagination is and about mental imagery as a therapeutic tool. And I took you through four mental imagery exercises. Today, I want to take you much further. I want to teach you about fundamental principles of utilizing mental imagery and the rules for creating your own imagery. And also to take you through some imagery exercises for emotional and physical healing. If you joined me today for the first time and you get interested in what I'm talking about, you can download the show of Tuesday, December 15th, 2 p.m. from my page, because that's where I started. Last week, I started talking about imagination. But a couple of days ago, I was telling one of my students about what I covered in my last show on December 15th, defining what imagination is. Remember, to go over the summary, imagination is the property of the mind, universal language of all human species, subjective experience of everyone, a faculty of the mind that creates thought forms through which we think, feel, and store our feelings and memories. Also, it's a link that connects our thoughts, our feelings, and our bodies, and it's a source of all human creativity. So I told this to my student. She listened to it and then said, "What about imagination as a place of meeting?" And I said to her, "Well, maybe they're not prepared yet. But after our conversation, I thought, how arrogant it was of me to say they are not prepared. Who am I to judge? Some people may not be prepared and some may not be interested, but some may be very much ready. So I am making a correction now. Here is another aspect of imagination. It is indeed a place of meeting, an existential reality. Let me explain it to you. We live in the physical world, and in this world, the objects have a form and appearance, a tree, a house, a car, your body, and so on. But the car or house have no consciousness. They are matter. Your body is also matter. But in addition, it is inhabited by consciousness, which possesses such qualities as will and imagination, among others. When the house gets old and is demolished, or the car gets flattened and I assume they melt it, the matter just changes from one form to another, but it remains matter. When a person's body gets old and no longer can function, it also changes the form. It gets decomposed in the earth. From dust you came and dust you become, just like a house or a tree. But once the body is no longer a sufficient container for consciousness, the consciousness goes back to the pool of consciousness that permeates all universe. We call it the world of spirit. In the world of spirit, there are no physical body and there is no form, which means in the world of spirit, unlike, you know, they show you in paintings, which is beautiful, all these creatures, all humans are flying and communicating. That's nice, very poetic. But consciousness has no form, no physicality, no form. Only consciousness that includes all memories and all experiences that consciousness had while residing in the physical form. Let's say the consciousness of your grandmother who passed away. And that consciousness wants to appear to you. Of course, there are certain requirements that are needed for this to happen. But we'll not talk about it now. Maybe it's for a different show. So for her to appear to you, she needs to choose a garment that is the appearance which you will recognize. So from her memory, she gets an image of herself that she thinks you will recognize. She simply thinks of herself of that form, in that form, and it becomes so. The image is the lowest, most dense element in the world of spirit. Now, for us, whose consciousness inhabits the physical body, the image is the highest element of our being. So we ascend to the world of image, whether it's through a night dream, or guided exercise, or working with a psychic. And they, the visitors from the spirit world, descend into the world of image, and we meet there. We'll have several shows dedicated to night dreams, and we'll talk more about this kind of what we call visitation dreams, and how to recognize the difference between the visitation dreams and other forms of night dreams. But for now, I just wanted to tell you about this, this other function of imagination, of being in an existential reality in which all levels of consciousness can be connected. That's why I call it a place of meeting. And there are two ways, in addition to the night dream, that we can go, that can lead us to the place of meeting. And each of these ways has its strengths and weaknesses. One way, as I said, where you work with somebody reputable, not some crook, but reputable, a person who understands and truly does this work. Yes, the psychic person or a person who is psychic can connect you with the world of spirit. you will not see it, but those from the world of spirit will definitely give you signs, for example, tell you about the things only that you know, and you will know that they are talking from there. But they will still appear into the psychic in a certain form. The other way, and that is the way that I do, is, yeah, so the benefit of this approach, the strength of this approach, that you know, there is no doubt, let's say your grandmother, and she tells you, I remember that toy, particular toy, the one you were 4 years old and you broke it, you say, wow, this psychic could not know this. So that's my grandmother talking. The weakness of this approach is that you are dependent on a psychic and you don't really see your grandmother. The other approach is through a vehicle of imagination. It's a particular process that I take people through. And not very often, but if necessary. And the strength of that approach is that once I do this with you, you don't need me. You can do it on your own. The weakness of that approach is that it's done through a vehicle of imagination. So in the beginning, you can question, like, am I making it up? Maybe it's all in my mind. It's my own creation and so on. But eventually, most people understand, get to know the person who comes in this new form and have no doubt that they're really communicating from the world of spirit rather than making it up. But that's all for the future. We'll talk about it. If I have time today, later on, I will do a mental exercise with you called Into the Gap to explore further the subject of consciousness. But for now, let's return to the subject I promised to address, the fundamental principles of utilizing mental imagery and the rules of creating your own imagery. So the first principle of using mental imagery, which is a holistic way of perceiving reality, and it includes our mind and our body, is thinking by analogy or thinking by points of similarity. Meaning that when you discover an image, whether it is through exploratory mental exercise or night dream, that image is not only important because of its appearance, but also because of the meaning that stands behind the appearance. So whatever you see in your imagination, you must always ask yourself, what is the meaning of what I see? Or what is it analogous to in my waking life? Excuse me, I will have a sip of tea. Let me give you a little clinical vignette. A man who was a physician, who is a physician, came to see me a while ago. He told me that he made an appointment because though everything was okay in his life, in a couple of years, he often felt sad, if not depressed. And he was sure that something was not right, that not of what specifically was going on. He just knew the feelings were not right. He did not want this to escalate and, of course, didn't want to go on any medication. So I gave this man an exercise. In our very first session, I asked him to imagine himself climbing a ladder, leaning against a tall fence, and report to me of what he saw on the other side. Now, my intention, and I'm sharing with you, I didn't share with him. My intention in giving him this exercise was really to explore, what was in the man's psyche behind the veil, so to speak. But when the man opened his eyes, he told me that although he saw a beautiful lawn on the other side of the fence, he became aware that when he was climbing up the ladder, the climb was very slow and he had to pause almost on every run because of the shortness of breath. Though he was an internist, I asked him if he took good care of himself and if he recently had a regular checkup, if he had any difficulties breathing in his waking life. He said that he indeed had a checkup and he was in a perfect physical shape and breathing just fine. By the man's last name, I recognized that the man came from a Christian background, Christian family. I told him that Jesus was a Hebrew and he spoke Hebrew language and Aramaic. The word for breath, that's because the imagery my client had involved breath. So the word, the Hebrew word for breath, ruach, also means spirit. I suggested that perhaps his subconscious mind is telling him something. And that moment when I told him this, he suddenly became so animated. He told me that before medical school, the connection with his church was a big part of his life. The demands of the school, then building his practice, then marriage and children. And he got completely disconnected from what was nourishing to him in his childhood and in young adulthood. He walked away from my office feeling optimistic, if not happy. A few days later, we did make an appointment, but a few days later, he called me and canceled our next appointment. As of today, approximately 1 year later, I have been in touch with him, I think 4 times, each time because he was referring to me a patient. Each time, he also thanked me for our session and told me that he was doing great. So back to thinking by analogy. Now you understand what I'm talking about. So when we see an image of something in the physical form, we're asking what it means, what's the analogy of it. For example, limping. Yes, you may say it's just physical limping, but also limping is an analogy to what? Being out of balance. When we think a woman's breast, it's nourishment, the uterus, creativity, or and children, the throat. It's about speaking up. What comes to my mind now is actually a wonderful story that Dr. Bernie Siegel, oncologist, told in his book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. It was written like 30 years ago, the book. And the story is about a patient who had some kind of problem in his throat. I don't remember. I believe it was a tumor in his throat growing. And it was fast-growing tumor, and they scheduled surgery. And 3 weeks before surgery, the man broke down. He was afraid he may die. Anyway, he told the story to his wife and I think to one of his relatives that he suspected that his problem has something to do with the memory he had. He revealed the big secret that when he was a child, he witnessed his father commit murder and nobody ever found out about it. And now his father died a year before he was diagnosed with this problem with his throat. And from what I understand, what I think Dr. Siegel wrote, that this man, yes, he kept a secret, and it seemed, whether we judge it as right or wrong, but it seemed appropriate. He was his father. He kept the secret. But now his father died, and for a year he kept the secret. So once he revealed the secret, he started even breathing better. So 2 or 3 days before surgery, he came to Dr. Siegel, first told him the whole story, and then Dr. Siegel examined him, and the tumor in this couple of weeks shrunk to a quarter size. So Dr. Siegel said, listen, it's amazing, an amazing story, and also amazing that it shrunk so quickly, why don't we wait a few more weeks? And in a couple of weeks, the tumor disappeared completely. This is not my story, it's Dr. Siegel's story. So it's quite incredible. That's the meaning. The throat has something to do with speaking. Colitis is about hatred or irritation, and depression or constipation, it is about inability to let go. Anxiety. Anxiety is about future talk, telling yourself stories, lying to yourself. You know, I said one time to a woman, I like giving kind of shock therapy, because when you say something that is shocking, people suddenly wake up and they're very attentive. So I said once to a woman, she was very, very anxious. And, you know, the word anxiety, the Latin root for the word anxiety is angst, which means to choke. And I said to her, you are choking from telling yourself lies. And she said, what do you mean? What kind of lies? And I said, of course, lies. You're lying. You're afraid that this and this happened. She told me some things that she was afraid of. This will happen and this. And she was so anxious and why. And I said, it's all lies. You are making up a story about something possibly, probably happening 3 weeks from now. You may be dead right now. The building, the boiler underneath of this building will blow up and both of us are dead. How do you know what will happen tomorrow, the day after tomorrow? And so on. So anxiety is about always about future talk, telling yourself lies. Okay, so that's thinking about analogy. So when you think about something in your body, think, what is the meaning, the function of this body? And then you will get clearer. And it's all, remember, we're talking about imagination. It will be clear what imagery to create, which we'll talk about, how to create your own imagery. The second principle of understanding and utilizing mental imagery is the principle of reciprocity. You change the inner, the outer changes. You change the outer, the inner changes. By the way, here is another example of practical application of this simple principle. Those of you who listened to my show last week may remember the tree exercise when you experience yourself as a tree. Just yesterday, a woman shared with me that she found herself being two trees, one covered with moss and the other with red bark. And both trees were bleeding with red blood, not sap, just blood. We eventually ended up talking in person on the phone. And I asked her about each of the trees, what each tree meant to her. And it really didn't produce much. Then I asked her what it meant when someone or something is bleeding. She said it meant that they're hurt. So we couldn't figure out which part of her was hurt. Because, you know, she's in a pretty good place in her life. But remember the principle of reciprocity. The image is the form embodiment of the feeling. If you were to identify the source of the hurt and eliminate it or heal it, the image would change. But the same is true the other way around. As we change the image, we'll heal the source. So I asked her to go back to the trees and find a way through imagination and will to cure or heal them, heal the trees, which she did. My feeling is that the imagery of healing of the trees will have an effect, and the feeling of hurt, wherever it comes from, will be eliminated. But where to find out, of course, because it just happened yesterday. I will keep you updated. If the imagery is not enough and the changes must be made in the waking life, then undoubtedly, she will have a night dream indicating that. Finally, the third principle, and that is form follows function. Another way to say it is that belief creates experience. The inner gives rise to the outer. You may say, come on, that's too esoteric, too spiritual. It is both. Yes, that's what spiritual traditions teach, that the consciousness gives rise to our body. And everything that happens with our body is a reflection of our inner state. But here is a study from Harvard University. Let me look up. Harvard University School of Medicine. 30 post-operational patients who needed painkillers were given placebo, some sugar pills. 26 out of 30 experienced no pain. But wait. Another group of post-operational patients who needed painkillers were given painkillers, but were told that that day they would be skipping painkillers. They wouldn't receive painkillers. 23 out of 30 patients had such severe pain that the additional dose of painkillers had to be administered. Isn't that what King Solomon said nearly 3,000 years ago? As the man thinks in his heart, so he is. And here, how all this happens in everyday life. I have a willful impulse, or a thought, or awareness of wanting to drink. Then comes an idea. I will have some tea. Then comes an image of the mug right here in front of me. I will have a sip. Right? Then comes and came an image of the mug on the table. And finally, a physical manifestation of those three steps. And I reached out, moved my hand, and took a mug. The same happened when somebody was making a chair for the first time. The chair did not appear, and someone said, I can put my butt on it, and it just may be comfortable. No. First, maybe someone sat on a rock, and then thought, I would love to have a place to sit, even when there is no rock. Then came an idea. Maybe I can construct something to sit on. Then came an image. It will have a base, something to support my back, and so on. And then finally came a physical manifestation of these three steps, and a person built a chair. The same process happens totally without our awareness, with our well or ill being. We know from the studies, for example, that when one spouse dies, the surviving spouse has twice as high risk of dying from a heart attack than an average person. Let's see how these four steps play out. First, and I'm totally contemplating, and it doesn't mean that in every situation that happens, but first, a possible impulse. I cannot live without hope. I will not live without hope, something like this. Then an idea. I will get sick and die. Then probably an image of the children being at his or her funeral. And then as the body received a clear instruction, the body begins the effort influencing different organs to accommodate the wish of the master. You understand? I am simplifying all this. And there are many different variations. You cannot blame a person for this. It happens totally without his or her consciousness or conscious awareness. And there are many factors that play out. Nevertheless, these four steps do play a significant role. Why am I telling you all this? Because I want you to know when something bad happens. Listen, remember Forrest Gump? Shit happens. It always does. And this is life. Something bad always happens. We must acknowledge that such and such thing happened. It is painful, but there are good things also. And you must list all the good things then in your mind after acknowledging the pain that happened. And then affirm your commitment to life and why you absolutely want to stay healthy. And then imagine yourself as clearly as you can being healthy. Doing things that you enjoy. Spending time with people you love and care about. Okay, now enough talk. I will tell you about the rules of creating imagery later. For now, let's do some imagery exercises, okay? I think it's a good time to do this particular exercise first that I want to do with you because it's 2 p.m. And if you're listening to me on the East Coast, it's time kind of to relax half a day through. If you cannot take a nap, it's good to relax, to shake off the fatigue. So if you want to participate, please close your eyes. Breathe out gently 3 times, long, slow exhalations. Nice and easy inhalations. Breathing out twice as slow as breathing in. And think or imagine that you're climbing a hill with the baggage or load of all that you've been carrying on your shoulders today. You're carrying it on your back. Feel the weight of the load pulling you back. Feel the fatigue as you are halfway up the hill of your day. Now make the last effort. Take off the baggage, the load, and drop it. With your new lightness, run all the way up to the top. And there you see a beautiful waterfall. Take all your clothes off. And stand under the fresh, cool, pure mountain water, washing off all the sweat, all the fatigue. Now, come out from under the water. Let the sun dry your body. Find new clothes. Put it on. And open your eyes. Now, thank you for participating. If you had images of carrying something, but you know, one time I did the exercise and the man said that he was carrying a platform on his shoulders and then there was his wife and his mother-in-law. So whatever you were carrying and you dropped it, if you found when you were under the waterfall and you came out, you found yourself being refreshed or you found white linen or cotton clothes or something relaxing like sport clothes, that's wonderful. It means that something that you were going through during the day was really wearing you down. So it's a good exercise if you can somehow remember it. And it's good to do it during the day, to relax, to get over the fatigue of the day, or even when you come home, if you have, you know, you come home to your family or you want to continue your day, you want to shake off the load of the day. That's when you also do the exercise. Now let's do a physical exercise for physical challenges. But remember, we'll do this exercise for headache. But remember, if you have not accidental headache, which means suddenly right now it's happening or you sometimes have headaches, if it's persistent headaches, first thing to do is to go to see a physician to see if there is no physical cause. There is meaning to whatever is happening to your body always, but at times it's very important to address the problem quickly and with medical means. That does not diminish in any way the value of the workings of the mind as well. So if you have a headache, close your eyes, breathe out gently three times, long, slow exhalations, nice and easy inhalations, and see a metal belt on your head, tight, squeezing your head. Now, there is a screw on the side. Using the screw, tighten the belt even stronger and feel the pain increasing. Now breathe out gently one time and see two hands of light come from above and touch the belt. See the belt falling off. Notice how you feel. Then breathe out one time and open your eyes. Okay? That it, again, you do it if you have a headache. Maybe you're tired, you didn't sleep well, you were in a stuffy room and so on. Or there is a headache, but you addressed it. You know that physician said there is no reason for this headache. There is no physical cause. There is no serious physical problem. Let's do another exercise for pain. And not only headache, for any pain. This is a little bit more advanced level of the exercise. So get ready, close your eyes.
Check breathe the chat. Gently.
In and out. Now, focus inwardly. Focus on your body. And talking to your whole body, ask your pain to appear before you in any shape or form it chooses. If it does, thank it for coming. Ask your pain what message it has brought to you, why it is there. If you hear the answer, thank it for the guidance. And now invite it to go with you to the river of life. The river flows from your right to the left. Once again, thank the pain for coming to teach you the lesson you need. Promise it that you will make the changes necessary. Say goodbye to it. And let it take a boat. Fine, there is a boat there. See it going into the boat and push it. And see the boat going downstream. Wave goodbye. When ready, gently breathe out one time and open your eyes. Good. You want to do another exercise? Let's do an exercise for depression. Let me share with you a spiritual aspect of depression, because right now, you know, we read every week a portion of the Bible, and we just read the portion where Jacob finally meets Joseph, his son that he did not see for 22 years. And remember, the patriarchs and matriarchs had this incredible communications. They received messages from God. God was speaking to them. God only was speaking, was God said mouth to mouth, which means directly to Moses. But with others, he spoke still through through night dreams, through messages, through daydreams. So, and yet, for 22 years, kind of God abandoned Jacob. Didn't abandon, but did not speak to Jacob. Why? Because Jacob did not have enough faith. Jacob did not stop grieving because he lost his son, Joseph. And that was a sign. The fact that Jacob was grieving, looking back, and meant that he was not accepting God's guidance. Because the idea is that God loves us, and everything God does is with the good intent, and eventually we see something good coming out of it. Nothing happens without what happens being of value to us. And indeed, of course, God was preparing something special, because Joseph becomes a vizier of the Pharaoh and saves the whole family. But of course, Jacob did not know that. And so, but for on that level, at his level, we understand he was supposed to have faith that even though his son Joseph disappeared or possibly died, there was a reason for it, and there is no need to be depression, to have such depression that he would not stop grieving for his son for 22 years. So the spiritual aspect of depression is of course lack of faith, which means people, what does it mean when people are depressed? That people feel something is wrong, something that happened shouldn't have happened. How do you know? So how do you know that something worse would not happen? It's not accepting. Yes, you can, let's say if you, God forbid, you lost somebody. That's a sad event. And you grieve for a certain time, but then you say, this is life. Or you didn't get a job you wanted, or you didn't get accepted to a school you wanted to get, or you lost money. There is a reason for it. There is meaning. And you have to let go and move on. So let's do the exercise for depression. Close your eyes. Breathe out gently 3 times. And see a dark cloud above your head, a cloud of depression. See a cloud of depression. Notice how dark it is and how heavy it is. Now begin to breathe slowly and see that you are breathing out the darkness of depression. See the darkness floating up and filling up the cloud. You inhale normally, but when you breathe out slowly and see the darkness that you are breathing out joining the cloud. And the cloud becomes darker and heavier. Now, with all your power, breathe out physically and see the cloud burst into a rain, torrential rain. It's pouring on you, washing off all the heaviness inside and outside you. As the rain ends now, you see a rainbow. Run to the rainbow and swallow it. See and feel it filling you up, your whole body, your whole being, so much so that many colors begin to emanate through the pores of your skin, bringing the rainbow to all those around you. Now breathe out 1 time and open your eyes. Thank you for participating. Now, somebody is trying to call us, and let's see if they can connect me. Hello?
Hello, Dr. Peter.
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Gino.
Gino. So thank you so much for calling. Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. So when your first show was on, you mentioned you might get Vic Hoff on. I was very inspired and interested to hear because I just discovered him recently. I saw him on.
I might get who? Excuse me.
Vic Hoff, the Iceman, the Snowman.
Yes.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. If you can get him.
Yes. Wim Hof. I didn't understand. Sorry. Wim Hof. Yeah. Yes. I have very good news for you, by the way. I have good news. It's amazing how, I got in touch with him, his daughter. And in fact, I'm going to interview him. And somewhere you will see the show with him on
Great.
On the 5th of January,
great.
I believe.
Yeah. Great.
So now we got Wim Hof, man.
Very good. Thanks. You know, I was watching, you probably are aware of Sadhguru.
He's out there.
Well, I was looking at Sadhguru's videos, which I have been for about 3 years. And, for folks who don't know, he's helped to plant millions and hundreds of millions of trees in India, get rid of the plastic bags, save the water. Teach people to eat vegetarian and meditate. He's doing good work. He's speaking everywhere in these major forums, whether with Dr. Michio Kaku or the Economic Forum or with the psychiatrists or the doctors. So when I saw a couple weeks ago that he knows, he was telling him to come to South India, get some sun. And Wim Hof was saying, come and get some coldness.
That's very funny. Yeah, I'm so fortunate and happy to tell you that Wim Hof will be with me in a little more than a week. Thank you very much for calling.
May I say one more thing?
Thank you. Now, okay, thank you very much for participating. I want to do one more exercise. No, I'm afraid we'll not have enough time. I want to tell you first about the rules of creating imagery. I want you to walk away today with this material finished. And then if we have time, we'll do another exercise or many more exercises because I have so many things to share with you just on imagery. But we have many other subjects. So keep sending me emails and letting me know what you want me to talk about. Anyway, so the rules of creating imagery. One, when you decide to do an imagery exercise, you must state the intention. You sit comfortably in upright position. When you sit in upright position, it's called Farrow position, preferably with your arms on the arms of the chair. There is more oxygen supply to your brain, so you become alert. You don't want to feel like relaxing, like you don't lie down like when you're hypnotized, but you want to be alert. And so you sit in upright position and then state the intention. I'm doing this exercise with an intention, let's say, to be free. If you felt you're constricted, you've something that you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel free. So you create an imagery exercise. Or if you feel that you are trapped, you see what image comes to you when you say the word trapped. And then you transform that image into something positive. But first, remember the intention. I'm doing this exercise with the intention. The second, any image that comes to you is the right image. Don't think that, I don't see the image clearly. It's not the right way. Everything, it's a subjective experience, remember. Whatever image comes, it's fine. The third rule, always start with the point of trouble, which means if you think I'm so afraid, I need to give a talk, my heart is beating fast, and I'm afraid to give this talk. And catch yourself. What image comes to you? Because one person will have an image of people like rolling their eyes. The other one, an image of himself actually choking. Whatever image comes. So you close your eyes, state the intention. I'm doing this exercise with an intention to give the talk and enjoy the process of it. And then actually imagine yourself in that situation. If people are rolling eyes, imagine them rolling eyes and then make a face and make them laugh and see connecting with them. If you think or feel yourself choking, you see yourself taking a deep, deep breath, breathing out again, smiling, doing something crazy like somersault, joking, and see people applauding and thanking you for a wonderful presentation. And the fourth rule, you do the opposite of whatever troubles you. For example, if you have a cramp, it means you are constricted. So you want to do something that is relaxing, the opposite. If you have an inflammation, what does it mean, inflammation? Inflames, it means it's hot. So you need to bring coolness. So you imagine that you are bringing a fire hose with one side that goes into Pacific Ocean, and blue water is spraying on this place where there is inflammation. And I've done it a lot with inflammations. And the body cools down and the person begins to feel much better. So that's what you want to do. These are the rules of creating imagery. And just keep in mind, our emotional responses are affecting our biochemistry, the biochemistry of our body. And our body changes within 2 years down to DNA. Within 1 year, our body changes completely. Our bones change. But what doesn't change is our memories. And the memories literally recreate problems in our bodies. It's almost like we're addicted to these unhealthy thoughts, which create unhealthy biochemistry and ruin this brand new body that we're getting all the time. And there are many attitudes or traits of character that we have that can produce such very unhealthy emotional responses in life. Like guilt, judgment, arrogance, jealousy, unrealistic expectations, worry, impatience, anger, you need to work on those qualities. In fact, I'm finishing writing a book called Six Pillars of Well-Being, and I identified 16 different attitudinal problems we have. I ran the book by my students, and I originally wanted to call them 16 plagues, but they said, don't call them plagues, call them challenges, because people will not want to read the book with plagues. It doesn't mean that everyone is dealing with the same or with all of the problems. But most of the time, people deal with 1, 2, 5, 6, 10 problems. And when I say people deal, everybody is dealing with them, including me. You know, I see people, and sometimes a person is way ahead of me in dealing with some issues. I know it. I did. And with some issues, of course, I'm 66 years old and I teach other people for 40 years. Yeah, of course, I mastered some qualities, but some I did not. Okay? So let's do one more exercise. We have only 5 minutes, but I want to do with you an exercise. Okay? Exercise for confidence. Close your eyes. Breathe out gently. 3 times. And see yourself in the mirror as you are now. Push the image to the left. See yourself now again in the mirror, but the way you are in a year from now. Whatever comes to you, even if it's vague, whatever it is. And now push the image to the left. And now see yourself as you are to become, the best of you, when you achieved total confidence. Notice how it feels. Notice how you are standing, your posture, how you breathe. And gently push the image to the right. I would very much recommend that you practice this exercise. Though again, those of you who feel you could benefit from it if you need it. If you need to build your confidence, that would be a very good exercise. Okay? Do I have a couple of minutes for another exercise? I don't think so, I'm afraid. So let me finish. God, there are so many things I want to share with you. Let me finish today's meeting with a poem, one of the poems that my teacher of blessed memory, Madame Colette Boucher-Muscat, wrote. And this poem helped me a number of times when I was going through challenging moments. Within the mysterious darkness, the infinite light lies hidden into the flaming fountain. To truly know oneness, you must enter the deep darkness. Then, the highest hidden wonder is disclosed. It opens for you and united into the circle. You are one with the one. Thank you very much for being with me today. Once again, you can email me. I'm looking forward to having your ear a week from now, Tuesday, 2:00. Peace to all who want to live in peace. Adelante, get up to the beat, adelante to the beat, ay, segunda, come on.